Watch the game again, then, Steiny.
This is Matt on the Celebrini, and you're listening to Steiny and Guru.
Thanks, Matt. Game winner the other night.
Yeah, I saw it.
Woo! You always have to try to one-up me, don't you? Let's welcome in Willard and Diggs.
Okay, let's do it. Yeah. Don't change. We've had a great time. When he comes in, when you guys come in, he has to go back to his Draymond, you know, I'm going to be a bully. He's not a bully
it's
to
not
me.
True.
But just, you, we
true.
Can love each other and they can be
it's
here too.
True.
It's all love, baby.
Well, much like Draymond, he knows who to go at and who not to go at. It's because he's famously afraid
he's
of Mark
scared,
Willard.
He's scared of me.
Well, I'm terrified.
Well, I had to look at
intimidation.
I was amused to find out Zach Edey was born in Toronto.
Yeah.
Shout out, Drake.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
somebody said Tristan Thompson.
Well,
what about
happened.
Tristan Thompson?
I told you
he's also from Toronto.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. But, you know, Eddie Johnson today, terrific, talking about Charles Oakley. And my second favorite part of the interview was every time that Steiny tried to do a reset.
I had three fouls.
Oh, at least.
Not even forced.
Eddie won't stop. Eddie's going to answer and he's going to talk. And so Steiny was like,
he's got a little priest in him.
Yeah,
when he hesitates. He's got a great hesitation move.
I
go for the fake, and sure enough, he'll tell you he's done.
He's trying to jump in. Oh, he's still going.
Oh, man.
Yeah, OG.
Warriors at Hawks tonight at Chase. 49ers at Lambeau Field Sunday.
Woo!
I hope 49er fans this weekend are doing what they have habitually been doing the last few years. You have to go to this stadium.
You have to go.
My gosh.
So you've been there?
I've been there.
Oh, wow.
Not for a 49er game.
Oh.
But I was for a Packers-Eagles game.
Oh, so you've been there.
Yeah.
It's even better.
Yeah. I'm telling you, man, there's nothing like it. These people, they're already there. I wouldn't be surprised if they're setting up shop right now. It's Wednesday. I've never seen tailgating like that.
What about the old school benches or seats? Is it like old school Stanford?
No, we were in the stands. It felt pretty, like it's been updated some. It feels pretty normal out there. And it's not, like now's a great time to go because it's not quite going to snow yet.
Not quite. This just in, first snow of the year expected tomorrow.
Okay.
But, 2 to 5 inches.
But not this weekend.
Right.
Yeah. Not this weekend.
A little dusting tomorrow just to get it started.
It just feels like it rained.
Yeah, right.
But I'm telling you, man, to drive through the streets of that neighborhood, it is exactly what people joke about. Like, the houses are empty, the businesses are closed.
That's how it should be,
That's it. There's a Packer game, and so 49er fans who have been doing a lot of this lately, traveling around to road trips, do this one if you got one in you.
I mean, it's definitely a stadium I'd love to go to at some point.
Yeah.
For sure.
We talk about how many Niner fans, and I don't know if we've all done the Vivid Seats homework yet on what percentage of the crowd will be Niner fans.
This
I
won't be
guess
a lot.
Less than 10.
Less
than
10. This won't be the Rams.
Less than 10.
This
won't be
the
Rams. I think more than 10, but not like the 86 that you get at a Rams game.
Sure.
Or something like
or a
that.
A Cardinal game, yeah.
But I'll also say this, everybody go do the game how you want to do it. These are the nicest human beings in the face of the earth.
Like, so you can wear the other jersey and you're fine.
You're not going to come in there and get the trash talk.
Yeah.
You're going to come in
as a Raider gaze. You had to be ready.
All they want to do is have you eat their cheese. That's it. They're just like, please, cheese curds.
Just sit down next to us
and let's talk about your life, and then there'll be a game later.
As you're saying this, I'm trying to rack my brain of the fan fight videos, and I cannot remember a Lambeau fan fight video.
Nope.
Great call.
Not that I look and seek these out, but
that's real.
Occasionally on a late Sunday night, it's like, let's see.
Maybe it's too cold.
Right.
I mean, these people, they're
that's
into it.
That's a great call.
But if the Niners win 24-21, on their way out, they'll be like, oh, yeah, you beat us. Like, that's it. There's your fight. That's a Wisconsin fight.
I made a step. I'm not Coach Sale because you guys do a great job, and I'm looking forward
coming
to him.
Coming up.
But I missed you guys yesterday, but this is my two cents on
what
the Niners. Are you really telling me Deebo Samuel is what it's come to for him to where he can't make any contributions? And I say all that to say is Kyle likes to attack the middle of the field. The rat's on the table, and opposing Dibs defenses have figured that out, and they're making it difficult. They miss Kittle, but even when they had Kittle, I just went on a tirade, there was something missing because I said Kittle can give you more, but he was blocking. All I say that to say is, Willard, I think Kyle needs to look in the mirror and just honestly say, do I got to trick it up a little bit? Not go away from the principles, but I got to do something different because I can't believe collectively this offense now with McCaffrey after eight quarters is what it is.
I think,
is that fair?
I think anything's fair right now. Look, it's an incredibly frustrating season and things haven't played out. But let me throw something at you guys and you can help us start our conversation because I think as is the norm, the further you get away from the frustrating loss, different perspectives come into play. And so, look, all the frustration with play calling and Shanahan, I get it, I share it, all of that. But let me throw some numbers at you.
The best.
And you tell me if this changes the way you think about Kyle Shanahan and play calling.
Numbers are numbers, and numbers are numbers.
Thank you. And these are my numbers.
All right.
This year, 49ers offense is in yards per drive, number 2 in the NFL. Points per drive, number 10 in the NFL. Punts per drive, number 32. In other words,
I get it.
Best in the NFL. Plays per drive, number 4. Scores per drive, number 4. Drive success rate, number 10. They are at minimum top 10 and usually top 5 in all of those categories. Now, TDs per red zone trip, number 27. Points per red zone trip, number 26. I say all this to simply ask the question. Let's put it out there to everybody. Are we overreacting? Is the Niner offense actually still really good? And we are spotlighting what clearly matters, but we are spotlighting little portions of the field or portions of the game that have not gone their way. It's not to say they're as good as last year. They're clearly not.
Can I go?
Maybe they're not as far behind last year as it currently looks based on their record.
Numbers do lie. Shout out Michael Smith and Jamel Hill. Numbers do lie. I believe sure that. Do. I was in sales.
Yeah, they do.
But I would say, watching with the two naked eyes, those numbers where they're lower in the red zone supersede the good ones because that's what I feel like we're watching. Starting week one, we were all at the game, 6 field goals.
Totally, they almost got
off on the wrong foot.
Sure.
Okay.
That's fair, but let me just further the question. What we've been talking about for 2 days is Kyle's play calling doesn't work anymore.
Doesn't get you down there. We're acting like it gets you down.
But
we're acting like it doesn't.
So I guess that's what I'm asking. Is it fair for us to kind of go on that premise based on there is quite a bit of data that would suggest this isn't as bad as we feel it is right now?
What was the second one? The first one was yards per drive.
Points per drive. They're 10th in the league.
And then what was the third one?
Punts per drive. They're number 32. In other words, I think it's good.
It's the next one that I think's interesting.
Plays per drive.
They're fourth. I don't think that's a great stat.
Well, we looked at it before the show, and we had talked about this previously, where they had 2 14-play drives in the game. And Kyle actually had the quote Monday about he had never experienced a 14-play drive with 8 plays across the 50 that didn't end in a field goal, a missed field goal, a turnover, or a touchdown. They punted. It was 14 plays, and you ended up punting.
That's
and the second 14-play drive, they did score. Juwan Jennings with the 3-yard, the bootleg off the play action. I'm trying to practice for Cosell. So they were 1-for-2 on 14-play drives. The one question I have, Mark,
well,
and
wasn't
I, don't
a bootleg.
I don't know if you have that. No, you're probably right.
Well, no, yeah, shout out Akash, who covers the 49ers. He's the one who tweeted these numbers.
The number I'm curious about in light of all that is how many drives. Where are they in total drives? Because it feels to me...
Just for the year, like total number of drives?
Right, because all those numbers are
per game.
All those numbers are per drive. And if they have the fewest number of drives in the league, then those numbers, to me, become less impactful because you don't possess the ball as often as other teams because you do have these long drives where you run it and you use a lot of clock.
That, which you want to do.
I don't have that
number. If you
score.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, if you score.
I would argue these numbers are the ones that are a little bit more helpful. It's kind of like, oh, he's leading the league in passing. Well, he hasn't had his bye week yet. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, like, let's...
It's coming down.
What are your yards per game? This is I totally get where you're coming from, Dibs, and it's a very fair question, and I don't have the number.
Yeah, I'll try and find it.
But these are simply telling you, I think, how you're performing when you get the football.
Well, the yards per drive, they're second.
Yes.
I could be wrong. You just asked me what it
sounds like. A lot of first downs.
Well, it also sounds like maybe they don't start with great field position.
Maybe. And their special team sucks.
Yeah.
So let's start there.
Maybe. But yes. are they starting more drives than other teams at their own 10?
Yeah,
or 15? I don't know.
But even if they are, it's working till you get to the red zone.
That's fair.
So is it wrong for me or anybody to question, well, if it's good enough to go up the field, which it is, why is there a disconnect all of a sudden? Who's the maestro of the play calling, or do we say it's the player?
No, like
they're 12th, by the way, in average drive start. They start at 30. Mm. So there are 11 teams that start better than
that. That's not bad. Gosh, your question's beyond fair. It's beyond fair. And it's probably like anything. It's a confluence of a bunch of stuff. I mean, Christian McCaffrey is their red zone weapon, their best one, and he has not been there. And we, by our eyes, think that the last 2 weeks, he's still not 100%. Jordan Mason did some not-so-great things in the red zone at times this year. Whatever. Like, it's on all of them. It's on the play calling, the players. The offensive line, I think, has been just weaker than it normally is. There's also got to be some randomness to it.
Mm.
There has to be some just like, you know, I don't know if it's penalties, because red zone drives get killed. One holding penalty destroys the red zone trip.
No doubt.
You know? So,
and I found the answer on my own, and thank you for the encouragement.
You're welcome.
30th in total drives. The Niners have had more drives than only Kansas City and Arizona. So maybe having a lot of drives doesn't really matter.
But those are both good teams. They're both first-place teams.
So they're second to last? Third to last.
102 total drives.
Oh, yeah.
But that could be on the defense, though.
Maybe that's because one of the reasons. Yeah. Is he loves to win that time of possession battle.
He does.
He loves it.
I'd also say maybe, and this could, you know, because I imagine it's pretty close, actually, that list. Maybe you can further that point, Dibs. But, like, when you have a lead, and the Niners have had a bunch of them in the fourth quarter, this has not gone well, but you're trying to shorten the game. You're trying to lengthen it out.
Right.
You're not trying to have a lot of drives.
And yeah, to your point, Houston's number one with 128 total drives in 11 games. So that's about 11 drives per game.
What are the Bengals, for example?
Cincinnati is number seven.
Yeah, because their hair is on fire all the time.
Right.
Like, the other team has 40. They have 32. We're freaking out. The fourth quarter goes bananas. That feels like what Cincinnati does.
Yeah, and also a team like Indianapolis, for example, they're number two in drives, but they're also number one in turnover percentage. So you're going to give it away usually pretty quick,
right?
And then the other team does their business, and you're going to get it back. So
I don't know if that's a good or a bad number.
I don't either.
I can't tell.
I don't either. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco. Always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. Yeah, I don't know what to make of that either.
For me, the big one is points per drive, and I'm looking at their number right now.
It can't be that great.
Number 10.
2.34 points per drive.
Number 10.
And number one is Detroit. Makes sense.
Yep.
Almost 3 points per drive.
They get a touchdown every time.
They're at 2.93,
That's what it feels like.
Yeah, because they don't necessarily play fast or slow, but they score about every time, and their scoring percentage is not number one. It's number two behind the Commanders. 55% of drives, they get points. So Niners are fourth on that. You're fourth in scoring percentage, but 10th in points per drive.
That's too many field goals.
Exactly. So are we overreacting, which is your question? I think from a number standpoint, yes, but you are what your record says you are.
That's fine, even though I hate that phrase.
I know you do.
But
trying to get you rankled here.
I think what we're getting at, this actually, for me, this boils down to one thing and one thing only. And it's just what you do inside the 20-yard line.
That's it.
Yeah, the rest of their problems, if you got a couple more touchdowns, that 8-point lead that you're cradling is now 14. Those fourth quarter leads... right? We all know that they're like one play here, one play there from being 7-3.
And that's why I'm not counting them out, and they're going to make the playoffs.
Right? So like, well, they may not, because they've built themselves.
But if you beat Green Bay, you're not a one trick pony in regard to his division or bust. You now have gained a game and possibly getting that 6th wild card.
But that's a big if.
Yeah, no doubt.
It's a really, really hard.
It's a big game.
This is a hard 10 days of football for them.
No doubt. No doubt about it. Well, you put yourself in that situation.
So, now I forgot what I was going to say. You said, it all boils down to the red zone.
Yes.
You were building up to it, and I was thinking, okay, what's he going to say? And see if you have the same thought. And basically, I was thinking to myself, situational football.
Yeah, it's kind of
not been good in situational moments.
But like, this is me. Now, I'm just asking the question, does this conversation sort of tap the brakes on the idea that Kyle's play calling has gone awry?
It
does it for you guys?
Well, call me Helen Keller because I'm blinded. I'm using the red zone moving forward as the only metric.
Okay.
Because I assume, and they've shown me, they got that mastered. This is the point. This number is killing you.
That's fair.
If this improves, they're probably going to win.
That's fair. I'm going by what I sort of feel is like. And do you guys share this? Do you hear, especially in the last 2 days, that people are like,
yes,
the Kyle Shanahan system has been figured out?
Well,
I'd be more likely to ask the question.
I don't know if that's the case.
Please explain to me how things change in the red zone from a strategic standpoint. Both offensively and defensively, maybe then you can narrow it down that way.
And McCaffrey out 8 games is the leader in the clubhouse.
It's not like they score every time when he comes back.
And now what about this? I got more numbers or numbers or numbers or numbers for you. So check this out. Touchdowns per red zone trip this year. Listen to these four teams. Number 21, the Dolphins, McDaniel. Number 26, the Rams, McVay.
Wow.
Number 27, the 49ers. Number 28, the Packers, LaFleur.
Wow.
They're all running the exact same system.
No doubt about it. Where that system used to be ahead of the game, and now
they're all having trouble only in the red zone.
Interesting.
Yeah. That's a great question for Greg Cosell. Like, what does he see on tape?
What are defenses doing? The Saints. Where's that?
Oh, I don't know.
He's
out of those four because they're, yeah.
Just two more quick numbers as we're just drowning people here in this bomb cyclone. Last year, the Niners were number one in the red zone offensively. This year, they are, as Mark mentioned, 26 in the red zone. Defensively, points allowed in the fourth quarter. This team's giving up 9 points a game in the fourth. Last year, they were number one. They gave up 3.7 points a game. So as we look at Kyle's playbook, we also have to look at a defense that has been capitulating in fourth quarters.
You know who quietly, go back now 6 games, if you want to look at the metrics.
I think I know who you're going to say.
Fred Warner has, like, DPOY after 4 games. Look at his metrics since then.
But I got
I'm not blaming him. You could say he doesn't have anything around him or whatever you want.
But he's been playing on one wheel, and he might still say if he could, I'm still on one wheel, Goob.
Maybe.
I get you, though.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Most NFL players.
You're out there. I get it.
Then they're going nowhere because then he's not healthy. Bose is not healthy.
And sometimes Debo's just not your healthy. Year, Steiny.
Purdy's got a sore shoulder.
You're right.
Evan threw this one out. We don't know when Purdy got hurt against...
No.
What if he got hurt on that dive early in the game and his shoulder got hurt, and maybe that's why they didn't throw downfield?
He would be out the game if I knew my quarterback couldn't throw a 20 yard. That you do it.
Although they didn't throw it downfield the week before either.
True.
You know, I don't know.
Yeah, Shanahan said it's because they were playing the two high safeties, which I think more and more teams are doing that, especially with that Ayuk, and you figure... No Kittle, no Ayuk, and you've got Saubert in there who is not a receiver. So if I'm on defense, I'm not going to get beat deep. I'm going to make you 14-play drive me and see if I can't stiffen up against the bad red zone
offense. And that's why Jennings would be the guy who catches a lot of passes. Yeah. I think defenses are willing to kind of live with that.
Yeah.
Which, by the way,
between the 20s,
I would say is lethal, provided that your big guys stop committing penalties.
Right. Yeah.
Like, the 49ers should be amazing at, we have 3 plays to get 10 yards and you're playing too high, no problem. Stop making it 2nd and 20. Stop making it second and 15.
Yeah, no doubt. And I'll leave you with this, because I was a big fan of Brandon Ayuk. I still am. Did he meet Steinie's? Did he ball out before he got hurt? No. But now it's becoming clear. To think they weren't going to miss him, you would be a football buffoon. Because, yeah, he didn't play his best football, but the team didn't decide to give 30 M's for no reason. He's missed out there. Even if he's not catching it, he's missed. And for me to think, oh, it's nothing, he wasn't having a bad year, please.
See, that's interesting, because I look at the numbers that we just discussed tell me, and I pretty much view Brandon Ayuk as like there were no games this year where he was like last year.
With Arizona,
And they're still moving up and down the field. And then they stop in the red zone, and Brandon Ayuk's not a red zone guy. That's not who I would look to.
But do we know that now that he hasn't been there? Like, he could be a decoy in the red zone to make everything else easier, man.
I look at the
NFL.
They
got to miss him, Willard. I guess that's what I'm saying.
There's a lot of people they miss. Sure. I mean, Greenlaw and McCaffrey. I still think that's just a wild contract. And I think in the NFL, if you're ever one player away from, unless it's your quarterback, if you lose one player and that craters what you're doing, you're not a very good football team.
In the red zone, though.
I don't know, man. I think that's more about McCaffrey than Brandon.
Ayuk's career is in trouble with the Niners.
Well, that's...
Because he's going to be gone until probably next October.
You're right.
And if he's able to come back from the two ligaments, and I'm looking at his post-2025 release number, the dead cap is only $13 million. So he comes back next year and plays 9 games and is still working his way back into shape. At that point, he might be on the streets.
That's not shocking at all.
Wide receiver position is going to be fascinating over the next 18 months.
No doubt.
With the Niners. Oh, God. Yeah. Like, well, Pearsall's the only one who I can firmly say is going to be on the team. Mm. Like, that's the only one.
Yeah, Juwan.
Or I guess Juwan.
Juwan's under contract for 2 years, right?
But I think this is one of them, though, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
I think this is one of those years.
And who in here expects Bosa to go? I got him missing 2 weeks.
For sure, I don't have him going in this game, and I don't know how bad the oblique is, but as I asked Doc Pandya yesterday on Cleared to Play, UCSF Health, that's not really a Toradol injury.
Ooh.
Like Trent was talking about how he had the needle.
He had that good. Yeah.
But because the oblique is not localized, you can't really shoot it up.
And I heard Baldy with the morning guy say he had it, Steinie. It was rough.
Yeah.
They called a pass rusher up from their practice squad.
We saw that. I forgot the name.
Before you guys go, we're getting close to the witching hour, but I did want to take a moment to just pass condolences to Johnny X, a.k.a. Johnny the Gout Man. One of the all-time great callers, and I first got to know him when I was working with Gary Radnich down the street, and he would come in with his Nobody Cares, which was a parrot of Gary's Nobody Cares, and the Gout Man, a.k.a. Johnny X, he became a fixture. And you know what? He found his way over here over the last couple of years. And we actually were texting back and forth about 3 weeks ago. And
just called our show 3 weeks
ago. Yeah.
Oh, man. I got to tell
you. And he's very passionate about some of Willard's takes. So Willard will give a take. And my phone, and I look, and it's all caps from the X. And it's, 300 words of tell Willard this and ha ha ha.
And I got the same thing. Yeah. I got a text Sunday, man. Oh, he would always rip me about Dallas in the show. And I'll never forget Gary say, Johnny, how's it going? Before he became the Gout Man. Oh, I got gout. And then that just stuck.
Yeah.
Like,
oh,
man. Radnich. But, man, he stayed in touch, came to all the little events. And I heard that this morning. Rest in peace.
Yeah.
Great call, Dibs. That was and you were a part of it. That was absolutely must-hear radio.
Well, the best part about what we do, other than free food and press credentials, is getting to actually meet people who listen.
No doubt.
And you meet them, and sometimes you become friends with them. And
certain people, absolutely.
Well, yes, no doubt.
Dibs, who ate the most at the potluck before I go?
I did pretty good.
Yeah.
I went back in there and found it in the fridge today.
Did you pull the ham out?
That was me. Yep.
Because I was looking at the table. I was like, I could go for a little ham, but
somebody wrapped foil around it and it just said ham. And then I did get embarrassed because I pulled it out and I figured it would be sliced ham, but it's all still on the bone. So now I'm the idiot who the next day at a radio station has got like plastic silverware trying to cut little pieces of ham off of a bone while everyone's walking by going, look at this guy. Like, do you, I mean, see you in the aisles.
Yeah. Don't, all right, Jets.
We'll be listening.
Well, don't go anywhere. There's Must Hear Radio again with Greg Cosell later on. What time you got him?
3:15.
3:15. Greg Cosell, don't go anywhere. Keep it locked on 95.7, The Game.